We got a lot of questions we want to get to the bottom of with the ongoing discussion between the city council and the Commanders on the stadium, RFK 2.0. So we got our guy on, Charles Allen, D.C. council member, who's been on the show many times now and is always very candid with us. And we don't always have to see eye to eye, but at the end of this thing, I think we high-five and go our separate ways. Is it okay if we call you our guy now, Charles? Can we do that?
Absolutely. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon to you as well. So can you answer my main question that I kept asking yesterday, which is, was I lied to or not? Okay. Mendelsohn said that there's a quote from him where he said that they're not going to be taking the funding out of the budget. And then the DC Examiner report came out and said that they're trying to take the stadium out of the budget. Is this semantics where he's saying it's still in the budget but being set aside, or did he change his mind?
I'm never going to try to speak for another council member, but here's what I know has happened. So when the mayor sent the budget down to us, that's when she put the RFK Stadium deal enmeshed and embedded within that. What I understand the chairman to be doing is essentially drawing a circle around the money that would be involved in a stadium deal, putting that off to the side, and then the legislative language so that we can deal with the stadium as a standalone piece of legislation. So the funding is all still there and kind of a circle drawn around it so nobody can kind of go touch it for the moment. And then we deal with the legislation as a standalone. So that's what I understand to be happening. And that allows us, frankly, to have the time. I mean, when the ballpark, now the ballpark was in front of us, the council spent 11 months examining that and ultimately voting on it. When Audi Field was in front of us, that was 6 or 7 months and then ultimately a vote. I think we're on a much faster timeline than that actually here, but we were hired to do a job, and so we're not going to rush our way through it. We got to make sure we spend the time to examine this, and it's not a good deal that's in front of us. And so there's a lot of us that say if it's going to happen, it's got to get a lot better.
So what is the bigger issue then? Because the last part you say is not a good deal. That's debatable, and that is continuing to be debated by a lot of people. But the other part is we need more time. We don't have enough time. So what is the issue, that the deal's not good mm-hmm. or that you need more time?
Well, both. I mean, I don't know the last time you spent over $1 billion, but you probably didn't do it in just a couple of weeks. So you got to spend a little time being able to look at it. We have a independent economic analysis that's taking place. It'll come back in the next couple of weeks. We've got tons of questions that have gone out that we don't have answers to. Spend a few weeks, spend a few months to make sure you get it right for when you're talking about over $1 billion. I mean, this is the second largest public subsidy for a stadium in American history. You got to get that right. So we're going to take our time and make sure we do that.
Councilmember Charles Allen with us here on Grant and Danny. So what are some of those questions, Councilmember, that you say haven't been answered yet that you're looking for answers to?
Oh, great question. So right now, you know, we're trying to figure out, so how is this thing financed? So right now, let's take a look at the parking. I've been very critical of 8,000 parking spaces. That's way too much. But right now, the deal is structured that not only does DC taxpayers build all these massive parking lots that'll sit empty most of the time, but all the parking revenue goes to the team. They don't pay any taxes on it. That's not even how we deal with the other parking lots. So have they built the financing that they're putting in based off of just taking all your parking money and skipping over the tax dollars? What are some of the fundamentals and financials around this deal? Those are the types of questions you got to ask. How are you going to move 65,000 people here? I've got a whole series of questions to our metro system with the commander saying, help me understand how you're going to move people in and out of here. Those are questions that your legislative body, your elected leaders have got to get answers to. So there's a ton of things we're still trying to make sure we understand.
How many parking spots for you wouldn't be too many? Because you say 8,000 is too many, and it's already a sticking point with fans and probably with the team as not being ideal and not being enough.
Well, I disagree. I mean, there's no way you need 8,000 parking spaces. You've got Metro, for example, you got Stadium Armory right there. We've been talking about it for 20 years about building a new Metro station there at Oklahoma and Binning. You've got a 42,000 seat stadium at Nats Ballpark with 1,200 parking spaces, and that works pretty well because you got Metro a block away.
But you know, there's no tailgating culture with baseball.
Remember, this is giving all the land around it away. So we're talking about 20,000 new residents. You're talking about a stadium, a lot here. The future has got to be, how are we getting people here by transit, by metro, not how are we driving everybody in? Traffic's already a mess. Now imagine 8 or 10,000 more cars trying to squeeze themselves in there. That's not going to work very well. We got to get people there by transit.
So I'd have to look at, I'm trying to find stadium by stadium in the NFL, some of these urban stadiums, but the average that I'm seeing is 20 to 25,000.
You were looking at suburban stadiums, if that's what the numbers you're looking at. There are stadiums that are able to make it work with less parking.
Right. I'm just saying that's what it returned as the average for the NFL stadiums at this point. But, yeah, I'll take your word for it. I don't think that's...
Am I trying to build a stadium or am I trying to build a whole neighborhood? Remember, what we've been build this around is it's an opportunity to build a stadium, but really it's about building out a whole new neighborhood, an entire area. This is 180 acres. So if you were to be building a small city from scratch, would you expect that you'd want to build just parking garages everywhere for people to drive? Or would you expect in a city that you've got your metro system, that you want to get people in and out by metro? Those are a lot of the questions we're looking at. You've got a river that is going to change the way you can access this spot and get into this space. So you've got to really think about this and get it right.
Totally understand that and get that. I feel like they knew when the plans came out, the mayor and the team, though, with 8,000 spots, that, you know, with the $189 million sports facility for the youth and some of the, or whatever that number is, all of the stuff that's involved in this program, I think they have a lot of that stuff, don't they? I mean, when you say it's a neighborhood, not a stadium, that's kind of the idea on their side too, no?
They have talked a lot, but let's talk about the housing. Great example. So the goal is to build the DC law. The bare minimum is 30% of the new homes built would have to be affordable homes, because we want this to be a place that everybody can afford to live in and call home, right? There's nothing, absolutely nothing in the deal that requires that affordable housing to be built. I think we need to look at, you know, just across the Potomac River, when Amazon HQ2 is coming in, they actually put in a lot of smart ways that public subsidy got clawed back if the housing didn't get developed, because there could be a lot of ways in which the promises aren't kept in terms of building the housing. That, to me, is one of the details that could change in this deal. Let's make sure we actually write in, when does that housing have to get developed? When does it get delivered? Who are we building for? And if you don't do it like you promised, then we want our public subsidy back. It creates the incentives there, because if this is a partnership, it's got to go both ways, because right now it is a one-way deal.
Councilmember Charles Allen with us here on Grant and Danny. So the questions that you're asking, the things that you're advocating for, et cetera, they're not going to us. They're not going out into the ether. You're probably communicating with economists, independent folks that you see are reviewing these things, the team, the mayor, et cetera. Yep. How are those dialogues going? Is progress being made? And kind of walk us through that and the timeline.
I actually think it is going well. I mean, the commanders have never resisted coming to the table and talking. That's a good sign. When we've highlighted where our questions are, I think the commanders thus far have been really forthcoming. You know, from what I understand from Chairman Mendelson, who's helping lead a lot of this, you know, not as forthcoming from the mayor, but I think the commanders for their part have been sharing a lot of information. Getting the economics are an important part. We do have budget and economists that are taking a look at it to make sure they inform our decisions and how it moves forward. But we're going to have public hearings on July 28th and 29th, I believe, or maybe it's 29th and 30th. But I think there's already over 200 people signed up to testify. It's going to be a long couple of days for those hearings, but that's going to create the public venue and public feedback. We're going to get a lot more people to come in and tell us what they like, what they don't like, what do they want to see changed, what do they want to see protected. And then I would expect that sometime in the fall, we move towards a vote.
So when you say it's going well, that's good. For the team, though, they were hoping this would be wrapped up in the summer. And they put out a statement, I believe yesterday, maybe the day before, suggesting that July 15th is still vital here. And you just said you're going to have hearings 2 weeks after that, and you're talking about the fall, which is not the same timeline as theirs. And it sounds like maybe even in the fall that you're hoping to agree to a deal that isn't even on the table yet, right?
There have to be a lot of changes. And, right. And so that's going to take a little time, but I would expect you'd see a vote sometime in the fall. But you know,
when you say the fall, is that September? Is that November? Like, what do you mean by that?
My hunch would be it's more in the September, October timeframe, but there's not a set date on that. But listen, if you were the commanders or if you're the mayor, of course you're going to tell everybody, gosh, it's got to happen by this date or everything falls apart. Listen, the commanders have made no secret. They want to be in D.C. And D.C. is coming in full faith, working hard to figure out, is there a deal that can be had here and what changes have to happen? So people need to have a little bit of ice water in their veins here and realize, like, this is a billion-dollar industry. We're all talking to each other and working toward what will ultimately be a decision.
So essentially, you're calling their bluff.
What bluff to call? It's not going to happen by July 15th. So it's an artificial deadline that people want to put on us. For what? What is,
but
what
they
is the
could go back to
July
Maryland
15th?
And get the project started if they wanted to.
Really? Governor Moore is already talking about the future of that site and how he finally has a chance to do something different there. That's not going to happen. This is so different than what you saw take place in Virginia, where D.C. worked hard to get Cap 1 back, which should never even gotten to that place. The dynamics are not playing out similarly here. You've got a commander's team that wants to be in D.C. You've got D.C. leaders that are in good faith negotiating and working with the team on that. So I'm not worried about a July 15th date at all. I don't think you should be either.
So that actually, if that's true, then that's a huge development for me and would completely change my tone on the whole thing. You don't think there's a chance that they pivot back to Maryland and say, we can't keep waiting? Because I know from talking to them, they say 2030 opening of the stadium, both for the events that they can host in it and because that is their plan and the commitment they've made to their fans to get out of their current terrible stadium, that they're working back from that date. And maybe that's the bigger priority than being in the city. But your point is, there's nothing to worry about. Don't be frustrated by all of this happening. It's 1,000% going to be D.C., and we're not going to screw it up.
It's a more than $1 billion investment with a $1 billion industry. So don't pretend there aren't going to be like pressure points that people are going to try to put on folks. Everyone needs to take a breath. Like I said, put a little bit of ice water in your veins and realize this is a big deal. It's a big decision. Everybody's working in good faith, trying to figure out, can that plane be landed? But there's nothing that changes if you want to focus on a 2030 season. There's nothing that changes if the vote takes place July 15th versus September or even October. I think the one piece that I've seen folks throw out is, gosh, we don't want to miss out on the FIFA World Cup 2031 bid. Those bids aren't due until the end of November. So when people try to convince you that there's some magic in July, that's just not true. And I've talked with folks with U.S. Soccer. They're like, as long as you have a decision made by the end of November so your bid comes in, you're fine. So everyone needs to take a breath here and make sure we get a good deal, because this is a decision we live with for the next 50 to 75 years. It's going to outlast you and me. We've got to make sure we make the right decision for the future of our city, for the future of this part of our city, and make sure that it's the right deal for DC taxpayers. Because right now, it's not a good deal. But there is an opportunity to make it a good one, and that's what people should be working toward.
Councilmember, my last one for you along those lines is, you know, how amenable is everybody to getting that good deal, right, that satisfies enough parties? I imagine everyone in different wards might have different things they bring to the table, different asks, which makes sense to me. You're representing, a different neighborhood, a different subsection of people. How close are we to that? How amenable are all the different parties to make those compromises?
You know, I've been talking with a bunch of my colleagues, and I think there's a lot of shared vision and shared goals about the changes that we need to see. That's everything from the economics. I mean, to have the Commanders not pay rent or property taxes is just a non-starter, right? So there's economics that happen. Seeing sales tax, it just goes to go back into the stadium rather than all the sales tax that everyone wants to talk about. Why would you not want to see that invested in your schools and public safety and housing? Investing in Metro rather than on parking lots. I'm working with my colleagues. I think there's a lot of shared consensus around how we're going to be able to land this plane and come up with a very solid set of the changes that I think we all need to see.
Did you like the Nats Park deal when it was struck?
I mean, there's parts of it, yes, parts of it, no, but I think that it's been a smashing success, right? Well, yeah, but as you and I have talked before, we're talking about a ballpark where you have 200 plus events
Understood.
Per year versus 20 to 25 at a stadium. So they're fundamentally different.
I agree. I just saw the news, though, that it paid off 10 years early and that, between that Capital One Arena and Audi Field.
No. I'm glad you brought that up because I want to note that.
Yes.
There's nothing about the ballpark why the bonds are being paid off early. Two-thirds of the ballpark fee that go into that come from taxes around the rest of the city. That's a choice that the city's making to free up our ability to finance this deal. And we have to actually pay a penalty to do it. So paying off the bonds at the ballpark has nothing to do with, hey, isn't it been successful?
Interesting.
Because two-thirds of the money that go into the ballpark fee come from other places all over the city. And we're actually going to have to pay a penalty to pay that off. So we're paying more. That's all about freeing up debt cap space so that we can do financing for another deal.
Gotcha. No, that's good to know. I still would say it's a success sitting in the Navy Yard right now working.
I don't disagree.
We wouldn't have been doing that otherwise, but yeah.
I don't disagree with you. That part's been very successful. But in terms of paying off the bonds early, that's not a link you can make around the success around the ballpark. Creating a venue that has more than 200 events per year, big major events, that drives success. That's why you heard me early on arguing for the arena, locking down the Nats to get a renewed lease. But a football stadium with 20 to 25 events is a fundamentally different thing than something that happens all year long.
Yeah, we've talked about that many, many times. All right, last one. You see why we like having Charles Allen on? Answers every question we've got for him, goes back and forth with us.
You're going to ask me who we should draft first with the Nats?
No, but I would like to ask you.
Love your input there, actually.
You could come on Bustin' Loose Baseball with me and Toby Altizer.
Kate Anderson has got to be your number one pick. Like, that's just a no-brainer.
I'm a Kate Anderson guy. My co-host wants Ethan Holliday. He wants to have the regional rivalry with the Orioles. Here's my question. Mark Seagraves floated this today on our station. He said, when RFK was first built, it was built by the federal government. Plan B could be an end around of the D.C. government and go into the federal government. Your reaction to that?
I think what you're going to see is, you know, kind of scare tactics like that, trying to create pressure campaigns, right? I mean, you could say that about just about every single thing in D.C. right now, that somehow Donald Trump and a federal government wants to take over this, that, or the other. The reality on the ground is the commanders are at the table. The city is at the table. People are talking. People are working. So I don't lose a wink of sleep over the fact that people are in good faith trying to figure out what has to change. What has to change to make this a better deal and a fair deal for D.C. and D.C. taxpayers? Can we get there? Can we land the plane? There's a lot of cool heads in the room. Let's not get too distracted by the higher temperatures that might be somewhere else.
Charles Allen, boys and girls, you're my guy. I just need you to get this done and not screw this up for me. Let's have a football stadium. D.C., nation's capital, we should have a football stadium. Let's do it. Let's do this thing together.
Well, you're going to tell, and I'm sure you're telling the commanders as well, that why would they not move their headquarters in D.C.? If they say this is their spiritual home, if they say this is the place they want to be, why are they so afraid to put their headquarters here? They'd be the only franchise in D.C., not headquartered in D.C. Tell me how that makes any sense.
I will pass that along to them when I talk to them tomorrow.
There you go.
All right? Both sides of this. We're doing this, Charles.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to get this deal done on this radio show one way or the other. We're bringing everybody
one
to the table.
One way or the other. All right, have fun with the bananas tonight.
Appreciate
See you, man.
You.
Take care. There's Charles Allen on Grant and Danny. Always like having him on the program. He answers everything.
Yes, he does.
You know, he's great to have on, so we appreciate him.